Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath to each of you again today. I invite you to bow your heads with me as we open in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we have together. We ask your blessing upon this word today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. We pray that the insights that we'll glean from the scriptures will be a source of hope and empowerment to our personal lives. Help us to grow by it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our sermon title this morning is When God Calls a Leader. And we're going to look today in a few verses about leadership. Again, we're coming back to the paradigm that we're in with our New York conference and so forth. We have been called, all of us have been called into leadership positions. I want to look at a couple of contrasts today that I believe will be helpful for us today that will encourage our leadership abilities, our leadership skills, and so forth. Turn with me, if you will, to our scripture reading today. You may have questioned what is this sermon going to be about when you look at these verses. Just this last week, as I was reading Psalms 106 here, I was inspired by these words that I read that pertain to our scripture reading today. But let's look at these verses again. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham and terrible things by the Red Sea. I added a verse there. But it's important to see something here that's significant. When the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, here they are now standing before the mountain, Mount Sinai, and Moses heads up to the top of the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments to bring back to the children of Israel. Now, you remember, the children of Israel said something to this effect: whatever the Lord asks us to do, that we will do. Well, Moses was up there for those 40 days and 40 nights. The children of Israel got a little discouraged, and they said, where is Moses at? And here in this little lesson here, in this part of the book of Psalms, we see something interesting. They took the image of God and they substituted it with a molten image or a calf who eats grass. And I thought this was kind of interesting. What does this pertain to us today? How does it impact us today? It has a lot to do with leadership. How so? Well, let's look at these verses one more time, and then let's go to the actual story found in Exodus chapter 32. But let me read these verses once again. As I was reading this in my devotional this week, I was so impressed with the idea of empowerment, that we are empowered to be leaders. And if we are called to be leaders, what are we called to do? What does leadership mean for you and I today in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Well, let's look at these verses again. It says in verse 19 again, they made a calf in Horeb. Okay? They made a calf. And they worshiped the molten image. Again, they substituted the image for the glory of God. It's interesting, too, that these people substituted the glory of God. Thus, they changed their glory, talking about the Godhead, into the similitude of an ox that eats grass, or in the likeness of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior. They forgot their God, the one who delivered them out of the land of Egypt, which had done great things in Egypt, verse 22, and they had forgotten about the wonderful works in the land of Ham and the terrible things that were done at the Red Sea. In other words, the mighty things when the Red Sea opened up and parted. Friends, all that these children of Israel did here by forgetting God, by worshiping a golden calf, all has to do with leadership. Leadership is important today. Our leadership is important in our social life today. All of us are called leaders. And before I go to Exodus 32, I want to remind you of something that we will look at later in the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that we are all a royal priesthood. In other words, we have all been called leaders to lead people to what? What is the question? What are we to lead people to? And I'm sure you can answer this question today. We are to lead people to Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, if you are a church member And if you have your names on the church books, then it's your responsibility to lead people to the foot of the cross. It's your responsibility to point people to Jesus Christ. Whether we like it or not, whether we're extrovert, an introvert, or whatever we are called to be leaders. We are called to minister the gospel to the world, to point people to the way of hope and salvation. Well, let's look at a couple of leaders found in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 32. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Exodus chapter 32. We're going to look at quite a few verses in the book of Exodus, Exodus 32. And we're going to spend the remainder of our time in Exodus chapter 32. But Exodus chapter 32, and let's start with verses 1 and onward. This is where the golden calf is made. Now remember, they forgot their God by making a calf and worshiping an animal that eats grass. Why did the psalm writer say that? The stupidity of it is absolutely absurd and ridiculous. You know, when we look out there and we see the glory of God in nature and all that God can do, why substitute the image of God for a cow that eats grass? And I want to appeal to your hearts today as well. Why do we substitute things for God? You know, we want peace in our lives. We want joy in our lives. We want, you know, all these things in our lives that pertain to our spiritual life. Why do we substitute them for God? Whether it be watching TV, whether it be spending money, whatever these things may be in your personal life, why do you substitute them? What the psalm writer is saying, and this is something ridiculous. Have you forgotten your God? You know, friends, don't forget the God that has delivered you in the past and who wants to deliver you in the future. Amen. And thus, we have a responsibility as leaders to point people to that God that is able to help in time of need. Well, let's look at these verses here. Exodus 32, 1 through 4. The Bible says this, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain..." Here again, here's the story. Moses goes up to the mountain. This is where he's 40 days and 40 nights. "The people gathered together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up," or in other words, "get up and make us gods." It's interesting that Aaron was the one who was left behind, if you will. He was left behind to take care of the people, and he was to be responsible making sure that there was order and so forth, while Moses was up spending time with God, dialoguing with God, if you will, face to face. And so the people come up to him, they start complaining, "Get up and make us a god." Well, here's a contrast. We have two leaders. Actually, we have three leaders, but actually we have four now that I'm thinking about it. We have God. Joshua is with Moses, and later on he becomes one of the leader. He becomes a great leader. We have Moses and we have Aaron. We're going to look at the three leaders here in contrast specifically. We're going to look at God, we're going to look at Moses, and we're going to look at Aaron. And we're going to notice some contrasts here, okay? But notice this. The people came to Aaron, and they said, "Moses has been gone for a little bit, too long, and we don't know what to do, so get up and make us a god, because obviously we're left out here to die or something." Well, let's read the rest of the story. "And he said unto him, Get up, make us God, which shall go before us, as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him." Friends, the first problem with these people is that they did not recognize who their true leader was. If you'll notice something, they said this, the man, Moses, who brought us out of where? Egypt. Friends, let me ask you the question. Who really brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt? Was it Moses or was it God? Well, God used Moses as a leader to point the direction and to guide the people, but the ultimate leader is God. Amen? These people they were short-sighted. They could not see the realities of the God that they served or wanted to serve. I mean, they forgot God in a moment, in an instant. So first of all, first part of this leadership is that they did not recognize who their true leader was. Point number one, To be an effective leader, we have to know who the real leader is. In other words, to be an effective leader in ministry or in the gospel work, we must recognize God as the true leader. Amen? In other words, we must have a relationship with Him in order to come down from the mountain to lead other people to Him. Amen? So leadership requires that each one of us, as a leader of our church congregation here, to have a relationship with God Himself. Now, they said to Aaron, "Get up and make us gods." Well, what did Aaron do? Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, and of your wives, and your sons, and your daughters, and bring them unto me." All the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and they brought them to Aaron. Through verse 3 there. Well, we have a couple of examples here that are interesting. Number one is that really, when anybody wears jewelry, the point of jewelry is meaningless, because only as the Bible has stated throughout time and time again, that these are false gods. Well, I'm not here to talk about the use of jewelry and stuff like that, but I always find this interesting. People have complained to me or said things, you know, where in the Bible does it specifically, you know, can I do this or can I do that? Anyways, I'm getting sidetracked here. But let's come back here. Aaron, who is supposed to be a leader of the congregation, gives into the appeal of the people. Now, a true leader will not give in to the call of the people, but will point people into the right direction. Aaron fails in this point. And so it says here, "And he received," verse 4, "at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving of tool, after he had made a molten calf, and said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the," where? The land of Egypt. Isn't it interesting? God, Moses, and now a golden calf is the one who brought them out of the land of Egypt. Friends, a true leader will point people to the true God. Amen. In other words, if you are a member of this congregation, if you are a part of a congregation, if you have been baptized in the faith or whatever, you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been called to be a leader to point others to Jesus. Amen? That is our responsibility. And friends, we are not to cave in to the social culture of this world to meet the needs of other people. God has called us to be separate, to be uniquely different. And that uniquely different doesn't mean that we wear turbans on our heads and we eat tofu all the time. Uniquely different means that we serve God despite what the rest of the world says. Can you imagine the integrity that Aaron would have held on to, and what or how God could have blessed the children of Israel if they did not create this golden calf? I find it interesting, as we are looking through these verses here, that the moment that you begin to substitute the real, in other words, substituting God as your leader, you ultimately come down to substituting God with junk. What happened here? They went from not recognizing that God was their leader to a man. And here's the thing. When you put your hope in man, man will always fail. When you put your hope in man, and you try to substitute true leadership in a person, it will fail. And what happened here? They ended up substituting the true leader, who was God, and substituted it with the golden calf. And the rest of the story goes that they all stripped their clothes and started jumping around naked around this golden calf. And Aaron allowed this. And this is amazing to me. Aaron, who was a spokesman for Moses on behalf of God to encourage the Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, he lowered his standard to such a degree that he himself even lost sight of what true leadership is and what the meaning of true leadership was. Well, Moses in number one and verse one, the calf in verse 4, but I want you to notice something. Turn with me to chapter, stay in Exodus 32 here, and go with me to verse 11. Now, Moses comes down with Joshua, and Joshua turns to Moses, and he says, "Hey, I hear a loud cry down there. It must be a war going on." And Moses says to Joshua, "This isn't the cry of a war. This sounds like a cry of a party," and so forth. When he gets down from the mountain after being in the very presence of God. Can you imagine, to his amazement, as he's standing, peering over the children of Israel, dancing around a golden calf with no clothes on? It must have been a miserable sight for Moses. And as he comes down, you know, he breaks the commandments, throws them on the ground. Again, that's a spiritual lesson for us today. Whenever we substitute things for the glory of God, we ultimately end up breaking the commandments of God. And we can look at it in this contrast too. Aaron led the people to disobey his commandments. Friends, it's very important that we do not substitute true leadership with false. We are not to focus on the Doug Batchelors in this world. We are not to focus on the Mark Finleys in this world. We are not to focus on the C.D. Brooks or the Pastor Curtis or anybody. We're to focus on God. That's why Paul was so very clear when he spoke to the church. He said, "I desire to know nothing except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified." It's very important that we focus on the true quality of leadership and what it means for us today. Now notice verse 11. In verse 11 it says, "And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people?" Wow, what a compassionate leader. Point number two is that a leader must be compassionate. Amen? We must be compassionate if we're going to win souls to Christ. First one is that we must recognize who the true leader is. We must have a relationship with God. Secondly, we must be compassionate. Verse 11, "Why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of" where? "The land of Egypt." Friends, I want you to notice this. Moses knew exactly who brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. It was God. The people didn't yet recognize that. They first looked at Moses. And then they looked to Aaron. Then they looked to the golden calf. But Moses knew exactly who brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. In other words, Moses knew who the real leader was of this church family. And friends, in order for you, in order for me to be successful in personal ministry, one-on-one evangelism, we must recognize who the true God of the universe is, and we must have a relationship with Him. Amen? And then he goes on to say, "Which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand." Well, I want to go back here just really quickly and just kind of try to paraphrase, or not paraphrase, but summarize for us here. Number one, in the number one verse of 32 here, it says the children of Israel looked to Moses as their leader, as the one who brought them out of the land of Egypt. Then they turned to Aaron. Then they turned to the golden calf. But Moses acknowledges the true leader, and that is God. Friends, who is the true leader in your congregation here today? Who is the true leader of your family? Who is the true leader in your home life? Who is the true leader of your personal life? Who is the true leader in your walk? Who is it? Are you spending more time listening and talking with Doug Batchelor and the Mark Finleys? Or are you spending time with God? See, that's significant if we're going to be true leaders in our culture and our world today, and especially in the Elmira area, is recognizing God as the ultimate leader of our congregation and obviously our home life and everything evolving around that. Well, I want to point out this too. Verses 21 through 24 of the same chapter. "Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought such a great sin upon them?" In other words, Moses turns to Aaron as a leader of the children of Israel and says, "Look, Aaron, why did you do this? Why did you do this?" And it's interesting to note here is that Aaron didn't just it appears here that he had a choice to make. He knew what was right, but he didn't. And so when he was called into question, obviously he found himself in a state of now doubt and unbelief of what he had just done. But he says this, and Aaron said, "Let not your anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest thy people, for they are set on mischief." Here's a contrast and interest. It's a contrast of true leadership. You know, he gave in to their mischief. He says, "You know that they're up to mischievousness all the time. I don't know what to do." You know, that's basically what he's saying. So notice the story here in verse 23. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. And for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, there it is again, their focus is in the wrong place. We not what is become of him. Verse 24, and he said unto him, whoever has any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to them. Then I cast it into the fire, and there out of the fire came a calf. Isn't it interesting? I mean, in the early part of the verses, it says he molded it, he shaped it. But you know what? You know what Aaron's really saying here? He's saying, Moses, I threw in some gold, and out popped this golden calf. That's what it was—a miracle. It just amazing. I couldn't believe that this happened. And so I told him, this is their golden calf. I mean, he was trying to get out of this as best he could. He couldn't get out of it. Can you imagine? out of this, you know, boiling pot, you know, this gold, all of a sudden, just a calf popped out. But anyways, so he, you know, Moses calls him on it. And what have you done? Friends, a true leader, I believe, will step up to the plate of responsibility and accountability. Aaron at this time had not. Well, later we know that eventually Aaron became a mighty leader and a leader for the sanctuary as well. But accountability is very important here. A part of leadership that is needed in our churches today. Number one, recognizing who your God is. Amen. And then also, too, your accountability. I'm sorry. Number two, sympathy for others. You know, and then finally, accountability for yourself and to the church. You know, when we say that we are church members, living a life that glorifies God and reflects the true character of God and of our congregation. You know, if you come to church, you know, acting one way and going home and doing another way, what is the reflection upon the congregation? You see, you may not be an elder, you may not be a pastor, you may not be a deacon, you know, you may not have any position in the church, but if you occupy and fill the pew, you are automatically placed in a leadership position. So that's an accountable position. Amen. Now, he goes on to say here, verse 24. And he said unto him, whoever has any gold, let him break it off. And so they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this golden calf. Now, verse 25. Now, here's where the call for true leadership is. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Here it is again, friends. Accountability, responsibility as a leader. Notice, if you look, some of you may have a margin in here. It says, they made their shame unto their enemies or those that rose up against them. In other words, somehow, the people around them that weren't part of this camp, the unbelievers, heard about this and saw this. What shame, you know, what humiliation to the name of God. You know, dancing around naked and having our neighbors. Can you imagine if we came to church here and had some kind of party like this? What the people around us may think of us if we're behaving and acting this way? You see, again, leadership. Every person in the children of Israel, every person a part of the children of Israel family, the Church of Zion or the Church in the Wilderness, every single person was a leader because they had an accountability to the world outside. Then it goes on to say, in verse 26, then Moses stood up in the gate of the camp and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Friends, it was only the tribe of Levi that did not partake in this festivity. It's very interesting, friends, to note here this. Responsibility with your call to leadership. But the final and fourth point here, is an appeal to ask people to come out of falsehood and into the true. Amen? So what were our points again today? Number one, recognizing God as our true leader. Sympathy for others. Having an accountability to our church and to God, and then finally, drawing people. What did Jesus say? He said, truly the harvest is ready, but I need workers to go into the field. Who are they? The pastors? The elders? Who is it? It's all of us sitting in this congregation today. We are all called to go and to work in the field. That means that you have now become a leader. Take these four principles with you today, and I guarantee that you will have success. Keep your eyes focused on the true leader, and you will have success in your personal ministry and your personal walk with the Lord. And I want to place a little pressure on you today. It's not enough to fill the pews each week. That's not enough. You have a responsibility as a leader of this congregation. Again, it doesn't mean you're up front and preaching and sermonizing, but you have an obligation to the congregation, to God Himself, with caring for others outside. I want to take you to one final verse here. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is where I promised I would take you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verses 5 and 9, the Bible says this: "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Notice he says here, a holy priesthood. And then finally, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You are a priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. You have been called. Friends, that sounds a lot like leadership to me. I want to take the responsibility today as a pastor to hand the baton over to you and to let you run with it. You are a leader of this congregation. If we want to see church growth, it's up to you. If you want to see this church grow, it's up to you. If you want this church to be recognized as a friendly, loving place, then it's up to you. It is up to you. But now, let me take you back to the story of Moses and Aaron in that situation. What side are you on? Are you like Aaron? Are you persuaded by the common mischievousness of the church or the world around us? Or are you persuaded like Moses by the hand of God? Which side are you on? In the story, are you on Aaron's side or are you on Moses' side? Are you on the Levite side? Are you on Joshua's side? Whose side are you on today? Do you see your responsibility to win souls for the kingdom? Do you see your responsibility to make God the center of your attention, to have sympathy for others, to have an accountability for your lifestyle and the choices that you make? Do you see your responsibility to draw others and to point people to Jesus? Friends, that's a large burden placed upon each of us, and we all have that responsibility. My question today for you is, whose side are you on? Do you want to serve God? Do you want to serve Jesus? Do you want to bring people to the foot of the cross? Then my appeal to you is to go to the one that can empower you and strengthen you so that you can become a good leader, so that you truly can become the leader that He has called you to be. We are all leaders, friends. And I ask of you today to go and to do what God has asked of you, to win a soul for the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine if each one of us in this congregation today, if next week all of us brought one person? I mean, we would double in size in a week. I want to place that challenge upon you, that you will do your best and that you will dedicate by purpose of heart and mind to bring a soul to the kingdom of heaven, to the foot of the cross, and that you would bring somebody here to the congregation so that you can grow and so that the church can grow as well. It's not my responsibility. It's not the head elder's responsibility. It's not just the, quote, deacons and the leaders on the books' responsibility. If you're a church member, it is your responsibility to bring people. My appeal today, go out, be a royal priesthood. Point people into the direction of Christ. Well, I want to come back to our prayer time again. And I'm going to ask at this time that each one of you will, you know, find somebody that you can pray with, and over the next 5 minutes, spend time in prayer together and pray about these thoughts that I shared with you today, and pray for one another that leadership will be placed on their heart or your heart, and pray for in that area. If it's lack of not having God as your personal Savior or not focusing on Him as much or as you'd like to, pray for that for one another. If it's not sympathy for other people, pray that you have sympathy for other people. You know, if it's not accountability, look at yourself and say, am I being accountable to the church here and to God with my membership on the church here, on the church records and so forth? And then also, too, how can I make an appeal to people? How can I minister to the needs of others? Help me, Lord, to minister and to draw people into a closer walk with you. So just now, over the next 5 minutes, break into two or threes and pray for one another and ask the Lord's blessing. And our elder today will close in prayer. But let me just pray with you just this moment before you break off into groups and ask the Lord's blessing. Father in heaven, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your call to leadership. I thank you that you have placed this responsibility and burden in our lives. Jesus, you died on the cross of Calvary that we may have eternal life. Help us, Lord, to share that wonderful gospel to others and to present that hope to others. Bless this prayer time right now. May it be a hope. May it be a source of security. May it be a time of trust and encouragement. And may it build our church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.